Welcome, this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com coming to you on the 17th day of November 2011, and today I'm honored to be joined on the line all the way from France by Julien Tailly, the documentary filmmaker behind an excellent must-see documentary, La Guerre Humanitaire, which translates into English as The Humanitarian War, and it is available in its original French at laguerrehumanitaire.fr and in its English translation at thehumanitarianwar.com. There is also an official blog for the film at laguerrehumanitaire-lefilm.tumblr.com, and there will be links from the documentation section of this interview on CorbettReport.com to all three of those websites. So, Julien Tailly, it's absolutely great to have you on the program today. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Hello, James, and thank you to have me in your show, and I'm very happy to be here.
Well, good. Well, it is great to have you here because, as I say, this is a must-see documentary, and I don't know if all of the listeners have seen it yet, but I certainly hope they will go to thehumanitarianwar.com to watch the English version, or in the original French, of course, if they're capable of that, because it is such an important documentary about a very important topic, the build-up to war in Libya. So let's start talking a little bit about yourself and your background and how you came to start researching this topic and create the documentary.
Okay, in fact, I was working during a few years for a very important company in France, which is, collecting money for big NGOs. And I got responsibilities in this company. And during this time, I began to ask myself some questions about the ways that big NGO was working. And so when I quit this job, I got the time to work on this and to make some research. So I began to write about this. And the fact is that I got published and some people asked me to write some article about this. So I got into this NGO topic a lot during the past years. And I went to Libya because I got an invitation to go there and to help. Because I knew before going there that the Libyan League for Human Rights, which is a big NGO linked to the National Endowment for Democracy and the International Federation of Human Rights, said to the United Human Rights Council that Gaddafi bombed his old people. But the fact is that I got an interview with his spokesman a few weeks ago, so I knew that there was no evidence of this. So that's one of the reasons why I went to Libya. It's because I got some material which proved that there was no evidence.
Let's get into some of the specifics for people who haven't watched the documentary yet. You obviously talked to someone from the Libyan League for Human Rights. Tell us about that interview and what it reveals.
In fact, I went to Geneva in July, and I got a meeting with this man, with Slimane Bouchouigri, who's now been appointed as a new Libyan ambassador in Switzerland. So he's now someone quite important. But at the moment, I went to Geneva to have several interviews with some NGOs, and it was the first interview. So I knew that all the story of 6,000 people killed in Benghazi and Tripoli and the bombing of Gaddafi was in fact coming from Al Jazeera, CNN, and all those channels, but also from the Libyan League for Human Rights. So I went there with all the documentation, all the communication they did about this, with all the papers, and I came to this man and asked him questions. And the fact is that he told me that there was no evidence for all of this, and that all those information were in fact coming from Mahmoud Jibril, who was the number two of the Libyan Transitional Council, or number one, I don't remember exactly. And he also told me that some ministers of the Transitional Council were also members of the Libyan League for Human Rights. So this was a really big conflict of interest, because some people inside the Libyan League for Human Rights are in fact members of the Transitional Council. So at the same time, they got an accreditation to the United Nations Human Rights Council and to push for war and to push those allegations. At the same time they did this, they were in fact in the Transitional Council. So it's really a big conflict of interest. And the legal base of that is something that can really be criticized.
That's exactly right. And as I say, the interview in the documentary really exposes that quite well in the documentation that you have there. The NGOs are obviously an extremely important part of this story, but I think another important part is the International Criminal Court and its prosecutor, who was attempting to bring war crimes charges against Gaddafi. Perhaps you can talk about the International Criminal Court and its role in this lead-up to war.
Yeah, of course. The fact is that the ICC, the International Criminal Court, is not only involved in a part of the civil war in Libya, of supporting a part. The fact is that the whole ICC history has been built with the help of NGOs, and especially the NGOs of the National Endowment for Democracy. But the fact is that for the US, there is a double strategy. At the same time, the US doesn't want to recognize the whole ICC status. For example, they don't want to give their own citizens to international justice. At the same time, they want this. They push for some source countries and some countries they don't like to recognize the ICC. And it has been done a lot during the 90s. So even Luis Moreno Ocampo made an NGO in Argentina, which is now supported by the National Endowment for Democracy. So since the beginning of the ICC, there is a big, big work between the National Endowment for Democracy, another type of NGO, which is linked to the European Union and which is based on exactly the same idea of the National Endowment for Democracy, and another third cooperation of an NGO, which is ICC now. It's International Coalition for the International Criminal Court, which is also linked to the National Endowment for Democracy. So since the beginning, this tool of so-called international justice, so-called international law, has been made and created by the same US networks. But in the Libyan case, what is very, very impressive is that when we were in Libya, we did want to investigate on the original documents of the ICC. So we downloaded it, we've been reading it, and the fact is that we didn't find any real evidence of crimes. And we also saw that Luis Moreno Ocampo, the prosecutor, asked for arrest warrants to the judge, whereas he got no evidence. So he got some newspaper articles. He's got some allegation from the same NGOs of the National Endowment for Democracy and of the FIDH, and he used it as material of evidence. But when you read the application from the office of Moreno Campo, there is no real evidence which is public. So we asked to the ICC if we can get those real evidence. And we didn't get any answer, of course. So I can't tell. I can't know if there is real evidence or it's just allegation or articles. But for right now, all I can see is that international justice is really not doing what they claim to be. So there is also something very strange in this.
Well, that's right. And that's one of the things that really surprised me when I was watching your documentary was that you provide the link to the, or you show the document where the Moreno Ocampo asks for the arrest warrant for Gaddafi, and the entire section of evidence of the allegations against him has been redacted. So the public can't read it. It's really quite startling to see that. And it makes us, of course, wonder what they're hiding. And of course, the obvious conclusion is that they're hiding the fact they don't have the evidence.
Yes.
So we've seen this entire strategy being used to build up this case for war in Libya, despite the fact there's no evidence of any kind to support the allegations. Do you think this is a template that we might see used in other countries like Syria or even Iran?
Yeah, of course, because this pattern is actually used against Syria with exactly the same networks. For example, we see the Damascus Center for Human Rights, which is also tied to the National Endowment for Democracy and the International Federation of Human Rights in Geneva, and UN Watch, of course, which is a very important NGO pushing for Israeli interest International Human Rights Council, United Nations Human Rights Council. So for Syria, we have exactly the same network with the exact same kind of allegation of crimes, but there is still no evidence. So we have to be very careful with this. We don't have to press the National Endowment for Democracy. And I want to add something about the NED, because the NED is the only NGO to me, which is presenting himself as an NGO. At the same time, they are 95% funded by the Congress of the United States. So it's a very special NGO. And the National Endowment for Democracy has been bought because all those CIA operations in Latin America and South America were so impossible to ignore. They got so much trouble. CIA got trouble. They had to change this and to cover the operation and to make it legal. That's why they decided to create the National Endowment for Democracy under the Reagan administration. So we can't consider the NED as well as the FIDH, but especially the NED as an NGO.
So tell us about the NED. Is this, do you, in your opinion, is this the main NGO that we're dealing with here, or is it just one of the many network of NGOs that are part of this this build-up to war?
I agree to say that the NED is really the center, the neurologic center of this network. Because the National Endowment for Democracy has been made in a certain way to overthrow some regimes that the United States doesn't want. And it is something very clear to me and very clear to a lot of people looking after this and researchers and teachers and students. So this is not a surprise to me. But since the 90s, since the U.S. did really want to get into Africa, and especially in sub-Saharan Africa, they got a very, very tight partnership with the Federation, the FIDH, the International Federation of Human Rights, which is a French NGO, as I told you. So this second NGO is the one helping the NED in Africa and in other countries, but especially in Africa, North Africa, and Middle East. And the third one is, of course, UN Watch, which is pushing for Israeli interest, always attacking people who are, for example, they attack people who got the Gaddafi Award, which was an award gave by Gaddafi's NGO. They always push against different interests than the one of Israel. So those three NGOs are often working together in Syria, in Algeria, in a lot in Africa, for example, in Congo, in Senegal, in Guinea, in a lot of countries are working together to overthrow the regimes they don't like. And that's something very clear to me and very easy to demonstrate.
Indeed. Well, you are certainly doing that not only with your film, but also on the blog, which, again, I'll recommend to people that they check out. So I understand that you're still obviously working on the full documentary, and we're very much looking forward to that. How can people support you with creating this documentary?
Okay. The fact is that 90% of the movie is taped. We got the tape. We got a lot of material. We got a several NGOs interview that I won't say now, but very interesting interview and very important to show and demonstrate other things linked to the war in Libya. Now the fact is that we just need money. We just need more. We need to buy a new camera to finish some interviews because we got some interviews with people, but we need more. We need also money to make the montage. We need money. It's so easy to say, but so hard to find. So if anyone wants to produce or to donate on the website, they can help. And the best way for us to do this is, of course, to do it with donation like this. We are free to do what we want and we are free to tell the truth. So the fact is that we'd like to finish this movie with the support of people only, because it would make the movie be free first. And that's really something important to us. And at the same time, we'd like to make several language translations of the movie. Of course, one in English, which is sure, 100% sure, but also one in Arabic and perhaps one in Spanish. So we need a lot of people to help as the way they can, if they can help to translate, if they can help buy money, anyway.
Well, of course, the NGOs have millions of dollars to spend on their marketing campaigns for all the things they want to get across to the public, but independent documentary filmmakers need support of the public in order to do their work, so I hope that people will check it out. Tell us the website addresses one more time.
It's www.thehumanitarianwar.com.
Excellent. TheHumanitarianWar.com. I hope people will go and check it out. It's an absolutely important documentary. So, Julien Tay, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you, James. I was very happy to be here.